Hello there, it's me again. Welcome to Neville Mind Tricks, your friend in the Neville Sphere. All right, clear my throat. Today, I'm going to play Neville's Advocate. Neville's Advocate. All right, so you could be anywhere in your Neville journey. Welcome to the podcast, wherever you are. This could be your first taste of Neville. You could be a seasoned vet, or you could know a thing or two about a thing or two, or anywhere in between. So today I'm going to play Neville's Advocate. You could agree with me, you could disagree with me. It's just a fun kind of thought experiment, way to look at things. So there's some success stories with Neville. We have the Caliente racetrack 3-1 pool going off of memory. So if the detail is different than what you've heard me say, feel free to fact check me and send me the detail about how it actually went, if that's how you feel. Otherwise, just know that I'm going off of memory. So the gentleman won a 3-1 pool at the Caliente racetrack. I forget the sum of money he earned, but everything happened exactly. I think there was an error in one particular bet was placed twice, and something happened to a horse where the horse didn't run the race or ran a race it wasn't supposed to, whatever. But either way, this chap ended up winning this race. And I forgot if he duplicated his effort or not, but there's the gambling betting pool guy. And then there's the woman that she wanted to be Mrs. A.E. or A.G. I don't know what the gentleman's initials were, but they went on a date, and she was living in an apartment that she shared with two other women, so a total of three women, and she went to bed every night with the feeling of wearing a ring and just saying to herself that she is Miss A.E., and as far as Stone's background information, I think this guy took a job in a different city, and they weren't as connected in Neville's day as we are today with social media and the likes. But anyway, they ended up meeting as by fate and ended up getting married. So those are a couple stories, success stories from Neville's day. Now, I've said this more than once in prior episodes, and I still kind of have this sentiment that I'm not a big fan of success stories. And there's a couple reasons why. And again, playing Neville's Advocate, let me know what you think. I really am curious on this one. NevilleMindTricks@gmail.com or any other creative way you have to get a hold of me, or buymeacoffee.com/mindneville. But here you go. So women and dating. Okay. So I've talked to and heard all these women that they're just being very braggadocious. Oh, I dated this guy and this guy. And oh my gosh, I'm so busy with so many dates. I don't know what to do. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to play a game, and it's going to call Stones. And all women that I've seen have fallen into the category. Well, as long as they're in the top like 80% of women in the looks department. You download one of the swipe websites, and I'm making up stats on the spot. I think they said 85-95% of stats are on the spot, but just from what I hear, my brain, this is what I get. And I'm sure there's other places out there you could get that would back up what I'm about to say. So 95% of guys swipe right on 80% of the good-looking women in hopes to get some kind of a, let's just call it a date. I guess this could be a family-friendly show if we wanted it to be. And women pretty much have their pick of the litter. Every man are shooting for the top 80%. And all women have to do is pick and choose. Could be as choosing, as picky as possible. A woman that, you know, I don't like to rank people by looks, but that's what happens sometimes. But it seems like we live in a very vapid society where It's all about looks, especially if you're on a swiping dating site, you're not really looking for relevance, possibly, unless you're just super shy, but whatever. So these women are pretty much selecting who they want to date. Yet they're turning around bragging, telling everybody, "Oh my God, I got to date this person," which pretty much means that they slept with him a handful of times till the guy got sick of him and moved on to the next guy. Not going to get too in depth here because I've done that before. But again, can you really compare the success with selecting from a crowd of 10 plus men willing to go on a date with a woman? I mean, is that woman really successful as far as imagining things? But and then let's take a step back at the imagination. If you're in the top 80% of good-looking women, so you have to be out of 10 women, you're one of the eight that's the you're one of the eight better looking of 10 women. If you're that person, you're going to get a large selection of men to date from. And ball's in your court, you get to pick who you want to date. Is that a manifestation? Now, it seems, at least the guys I've talked to, and I've talked to some guys that are pretty decent looking, not to be on that side of the fence or anything, but, and they don't seem to have that. Is it because they're imagining it, or is it something else? I guess the point with all that is you can't really brag and call it a manifestation of basically all you're doing is picking and choosing what you're going to do. It's like if you work at a mailroom and say, "Oh, I tried to manifest picking up a cardboard box," and that's 95% of your work day. Come on. All right, and then the last thing is with the Neville's advocate is, are women that, do they really have success dating when all they have to do is pretty much select who they want to go out on a date with and then do nothing come beyond that besides post a picture? And all you have to do is be one of the top 80% of women and you'll get a date. I don't know, is that manifesting? Tell me what you think. And then with gambling. So I heard this. This was the Pickle Juice Bro Science individual and had a story about how they won on an NFL football pool. And if you heard me for any length of time, or if this is your first time hearing me, I am pretty knowledgeable when it comes to NFL football. More from like a historic standpoint. I'm not good at picking what guy is going to do what tomorrow and how many numbers and what does this mean. I don't really care about that gobbledygook. But as far as like historical knowledge, knowing what teams are playing who are the better players, the media interaction, I'm pretty good with that. So this individual said that they bet a certain sum of money and they won another sum of money, which was very impressive. And so I sent them a note, said, "Hey, bro science guy, congratulations. What teams did you bet on?" Didn't get a response. Maybe they were just overwhelmed. But that response, I don't know anything about sports betting, mind you. I don't know what all the weird dashes and numbers means. I don't know what number this and that, how much betting this and that, but I'm really good at research and I'd be able to figure it out to fact check to see if that story was valid. But if you're delivering a success story about winning gambling NFL football to an audience that 98, 95, 98 plus percent don't even watch or like or know anything about the sport, it'd be like if you were telling me that you were betting on tennis. I don't even know. If you tell me tennis players, I think of Pete Sampras. That's how far back I go. Yeah, Pete Sampras. Or Andre Agassi, you know? So I'm going way back there. I don't know anything about the sport. But so if you're sharing a success story with NFL football, do people that know enough about football as much as I know about tennis, and then won't tell the one person that knows quite a bit about football, i.e., the Neville Mind Tricks guy, me, I don't know. Maybe they just didn't see my note. But again, and another funny thing, playing devil's advocate with the gamblers out there, and I'm not talking about Kenny Rogers and that great beard of his. Moment of silence for Kenny Rogers. You got to know when to hold them. But a lot of gamblers that I know, they spend a ton of money. So if somebody came to me and goes, oh, I won $500-$600 on the football games yesterday. Cool. Good for you. You must be a real good gambler. And I would say of 100% of the time I've asked that question so far, the person says, eh, I win some, you dim some. But for the most part, I end up losing more than I win. That's a little more realistic. Like I said, this one individual, maybe they won, the bro science guy. And hey, wish him well and congratulations. I could probably go duplicate that. But knowing what teams he bet on that one particular week isn't worth a hill of beans to anybody. But the fact that that information isn't there, that could have been a made-up success story. Again, being Neville's advocate, kind of like women bragging about how many men they attract and how many dates they go on when all they have to do is swipe the right way and they have a plethora of men that they get to sift through and choose the best-looking one based on their criteria. Tell me what you think. Are these modern-day gambler derelicts? I don't know if they're derelicts. Maybe they never gamble. And the women that go on easy dates, are these manifesting? Sure, you can make the argument that they got what they got because they thought what they thought. But when you're... Could you be the other person? Is the other person not getting those results because they're not thinking? Kind of speaking in circles here, but hopefully inciting some thought on your end. Caring is sharing. If you found value, know the thing. Feel free to share with family, friends, neighbors, anyone that messages me in the middle of an episode. But hey, that just shows how popular and in demand this show is. And for now, let us go into a silence. A silence that doesn't play Neville's advocate. Or maybe it does. A silence that transcends the law of averages. Because if you've listened to this point, you know there's no such thing as impossible when you know this Neville stuff. Enjoy. Hello, Neville Army. Greetings and salutations. This is Neville Mind Tricks, your friend in the Neville Sphere. Here we are. What a treat. Treat for me, at least. I'm sure for you as well, on some level. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be listening. But I was wrong about the sperm retention comment. Yeah, there was, maybe I wasn't quite wrong, but maybe misleading. Maybe not. But anyway, there was something I said in a prior podcast over the last 2 years that it was ridiculousness. People were asking if Neville ever talked about sperm retention. And today, while doing my thing and listening to Neville in the background, I actually heard him talk about sperm retention. He didn't out and out call it that. He spoke in his very Neville type way. But he did. He was speaking to folks that
were members of a specific club, and they used this as a way to get closer to God. So it seemed as though maybe, again, some type of a religion. But the way I see it today, when folks bring it up, they bring it up. It's usually pretentious millennials that act as though they just made something up, that nobody's thought about this before. But if Neville, giving this talk in the 50s, 60s, whenever it was approached by someone that asked him about sperm retention, different words in a different manner, different context, you didn't invent anything. It's been on forever. I think a lot of these folks out there are just trying to feel better about the fact that they're undersexed and about to get kicked out of their parents' basement. So again, that type of stuff out there really isn't have anything to do with what Neville taught. And I did find something that Neville did say. Let's see here. Let's cue it up. And here we go.
On any kind of societies. I'm not a member of any club.
I am not a member of any club. I'm not a member of any club. So my buddy, bro science guy, and I think the only reason I was introduced to him by a listener who thought that I might be open because kind of different, had a good look, looked very manly and hey, you know, and this and that without being too abrasive. But the more I listened, the more I realized it was gobbledygook. A lot better than the Butter Place, Insta-thought, turn life coach, teachers, the instructors that hide behind their NLP certification that they got from a Cracker Jack box in the 1970s. Something a little different. But so I listened to Bro Science Guy, and Bro Science Guy was saying about how Neville used to be a member of all these clubs and he had all these prior meetings and whatnot. So let's see what Neville said here again in his own words. Let's listen to it together. Hold on.
On any kind of societies. I'm not a member of any club.
Not a member of any club. All right. So we started, let's close talking about sperm retention. All right. There was some people call this person a charlatan, and I believe they may be. I think that when there's smoke, there's fire, as they say. But I called him, what did I call him, Napoleon Bill the other day? But that guy talked about sperm retention in different way, just talking about how men tend to achieve a higher level of success later in life because their main motivation isn't that. It is becoming successful and other things. So that was a hypothesis in one of the steps he brought up in one of his books. But the whole moral of the story, the Neville Mind Trick, everything that wrapped up in one neat little package today is that it's not about sperm retention. It's not about what Butterface person said. It's not about what NLP Cracker Jack box person said. It's not about what bro science made up about pickle juice, binaural beats, how Neville used to go to all these clubs, even though he obviously said there that he was not a member of any clubs. So I saw something the other day. It was an illustration, and there was confusion. And I don't think Neville is confusing. I just think there's a lot of content and a lot of different ways that we could possibly interpret that content, as with anything else. And whenever there's a chance to make money from confusion, you're going to get a body of work, good, bad, or indifferent. You have that information, and that a lion's share of that, as high as 90% of that, is just fraud. And 10% of that is good, and sometimes even better, more wonderfuler than you've experienced before. So the takeaway with this is that none of this matters. What matters is that nothing external brings you closer to where you want to be. It's all you. I'm not a big cliche guy, but you know, so I'm not going to say the self-pushed out thing, even though I just did. But I stand corrected on the sperm retention comment. Yes, Neville did talk about sperm retention, but he didn't talk about it to make you feel better about your light in life, millennial. Whenever I have any millennials that live in their basements and are about to get evicted from their parents, I don't know. If I do, much love to you. Any way that I could help share the Neville word, let me know, NevilleMindTricks@gmail.com. Speaking of sharing, caring is sharing. If you found value, entertainment, all of the above, anything from this episode, feel free to share with family, friends, and neighbors. And for now, let us go into a silence. A silence where you emerge in awe, in happiness, and you have this overwhelming sense of relief, knowing that it's not what's out there. It has nothing to do with out there. It's all an inner job. Let us go into the silence. Greetings and salutations. Welcome to Neville Mind Tricks, your friend in the Neville Sphere.
You could do better than that. Let's go to the left side of the room. Now the right side.
All right. Dad jokes aside, welcome. Great talking to you here. I recorded an episode earlier in the week that I think got lumped in with another one. So, hats off if you find it. I forgot where it ended up, but it didn't end up on its own separate episode. Today I want to talk about nasty messages. Yeah, more like that. Nasty messages. All right, give you some background. I was talking to somebody or talking about somebody, and they were talking... They were discussing a really poor reaction they had to a unsolicited message, and it just caused pure chaos, and it wasn't a good end result. And I just casually and innocently asked myself, I said, wonder how I would react if I received a weird, unsolicited, mean, accusatory message. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I don't think maybe I said it out loud, but I know I at least thought it. And so, if you know anything about Neville and his whole body of work and all this stuff, you know what happened. Give you some background. So there's this individual that I did some business with, not Neville related, not my main corporate job related, but outside of that, it was fine, but it ended amicably, and unless this person won the lottery or got a 5,000% raise, really had no interest in doing any future business. It's just how it was. That was the situation. And one day, I received a call, and just a funny side note on getting phone calls. Maybe you could relate, maybe you cannot. My dad had a rotary phone in the basement when I was a kid, but we didn't actually have a rotary phone. I think we had family members, a friend or two that had one, but we didn't. We never had a rotary phone. But anyway, if the phone rang in the house, once I got to a certain age, and then when my brother came in the picture and we got both a certain age, we would literally sprint, and it would be like a contest to see who could answer the phone first. It was just exciting when the phone rang. But maybe you could relate to this, maybe you can't. But now if my phone rings, I just
You want to talk about a trigger? True confessions. For some reason, I just get so annoyed when my phone rings. Even if it's someone I know, usually, which is weird. It's just like, if you want something, text me. I'll get to you when I can. Don't call me. I don't know. Just odd side note about myself. But anyway, so got a phone call, ignored it. Didn't really recognize the number offhand. And then the kid was asleep, taking a nap, and I left the phone in the other room, and the phone was ringing, and I couldn't get to it fast enough. And of course, I was annoyed because not only was I getting a phone call, but it was a possible disruption for the kid sleeping. But fortunately, he's a could be a heavy sleeper like his dad, so didn't affect him. And then I looked into the number, realized who it was, and said, I really don't feel like dealing with this individual, don't really need to, so left it at that. And then a day or two ago, I forget exactly when it was, that's how worthwhile it was, I got a text message saying, "Did you get my calls?" And I didn't respond. I was at work, busy, really busy week at work. And maybe an hour or two later, I got a voicemail, and it was one of those paragraph text messages that took a lot of thought. There was a lot of anger behind the message. Not going to repeat what was said, but it was an attempt to insult me. And while we're doing two confessions, I'll give you another true confession. My superpower, although may or may not be something to be proud of, depending on who you ask, is I am really good at knee-jerk responses and responding to insults. Yeah, I know, not really. Yeah. For the Neville guy to be that way, not really a good thing. But I could be that way too with compliments. So that's where I channel that into something good. But anyways, I read this guy's message. I stopped work. I'm like, what a clown. Why would they say something like this? And I thought of a dozen or so different ways to respond to it, but decided to just let it lay, leave it as is. Don't want to cause a situation where there'd be any future retaliation. Just not a good thing. So Neville talks about this. He talks about reaction. He says that we are able to react to the things that happen to us, but we do not have any control as to the circumstances and events of the day, save with what you put into your subconscious mind, what you thought, what you planted into the ground as a seed. So, an example here in this situation, which is why I decided to share it, because it may or may not give you some insight as to how this stuff really works. So, I planted the seed by saying, "Wonder how I would react if I received an insulting message out of the blue." And then I had a choice. And so I set that into motion. I got a message that was insulting. And but I have a freedom of reaction. I could have reacted to that, whatever. I could have picked up my phone, could have cussed this person out. I could have texted them back and said a lot of mean things about their mother or whatever it was, whatever direction I want to go with it. I could have threatened them. I could have engaged in a long-winded text battle of insulting back and forth, but I just let it lie, let it be, and that's that. Pretty simple today. Hopefully, you found some depth, some meaning in the Neville Mind Tricks. Caring is sharing. You know the thing, if you found value, feel free to share with family, friends, neighbors, or anyone that is learning Neville and wants to know, like a practical planting the seed and the freedom of reaction with the free will. Like people think, oh, yeah, you got to work hard and blah, 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 blah. Neville talks about how those things work. But then he also says that the only thing that we have freedom to do is our reactions, as I did in that case by not answering a derogatory, mean message towards me. And then again, too, it's with the inner conversation and revision. I could have, and a matter of fact, I probably did this. It just gets to a point where it happens more and more naturally. You don't really think about it in this way, where you just kind of revise the conversation, where it's just like you got a text. Hey, how's it going? We're just thinking about you. Hope you're well. Hope you and your family have a great holiday. Okay, that's a good thing. That's a reaction. So that's a choice. It's a freedom of reaction. You could revise, not respond negatively. That's a choice. That's something you have freedom of. Or you could go the other way around. You could go down the rabbit hole and the path that I mentioned earlier. Caring is sharing. If you found value, you know the thing. Feel free to reach out, nevillemindtricks@gmail.com for any commentary or anything else. I do offer sessions where I call interviews. So if you're not a Neville person, want to kind of learn Neville and just talk about someone that's Neville, I do have them in half-hour increments. It's getting towards the end of the year, so I do have some times here and there. Or if you just want to chat, obviously, I don't think people should charge to chat with other students. Talked about that before. So reach me any way you can if you're interested. Other than that, let us go into a silence. A silence where you realize that your life is getting better and better, improving not only incrementally, but also by leaps and bounds. Not only because you're such a wonderful person and you deserve it, but because you're understanding more and more, and then you're carrying this throughout the rest of the year and beyond.